When the people heard Jesus, they say, no man spoke like this man. You know who said those words? The soldiers who went to arrest him. When they went near to arrest Jesus and they heard what Jesus said, they couldn't arrest him. And that's him. He was the Son of God. His words, his claims are unique. And I bring this forth to you. Based on what Jesus said, there is no standing on the fence. Either he is right or he is wrong. There's no halfway. Because to believe that he is right means to accept him fully and everybody is wrong. Or to believe that he is wrong, then everybody else is right. That's Jesus. He puts it before us. His unique authority and words are what make the difference from all others. It's very, very exclusive. And either Jesus is the greatest liar, or he is indeed the truth. There is no middle ground. Either he was lying when he says there is only one way to God through him, that he is the Son of God, that he can give eternal life immediately when you accept him. Either he's the greatest liar, or he is the only truth. That's the second unique thing about Jesus, his authority and his words. The third unique thing about Jesus is his resurrection from the dead. Gautama Buddha is dead, same as Muhammad. And every great teacher of morality, Confucius, Laozi, or every of those teachers in the different areas, they are all dead. But Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That's the third uniqueness about Jesus. Now, each uniqueness speaks something to our lives. And when it says Jesus rose from the dead, and if you look at the book of Acts, the one message that they have is actually the resurrection of Jesus. If you look at the first sermon ever preached, it was about the resurrection of Jesus. In Acts 2 verse 31, foreseeing he spoke concerning the resurrection of Jesus. Verse 32, Acts 2. This Jesus God has raised up. And there's a healing of the lame man. And in chapter 3, again their main message is the resurrection from the dead. It says here in verse 15, chapter 3 verse 15, and you have killed the prince of life whom God raised from the dead, of whom we are witnesses. We have seen him alive. Jesus rose from the dead. And Paul made this statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says the resurrection of Jesus is what made Christianity what it is. Verse 14, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 14. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is empty. Do you see verse 14? 1 Corinthians 15 verse 14 tells you that Christianity is not just a creed or a set of rules. Because you can have... Do you know that if Jesus taught everything that he taught, and he just died and never rose from the dead, you still can found a great religion based on his teachings? But do you know Paul calls all those things empty? It is not a creed or a set of do this and do that. He says the basis of Christianity is that he is alive. And that means that today, when you want to experience Jesus, not just know Him, you can. Because He is still alive. And throughout 2,000 years of church history, He has been appearing to people. It's numerous times He has appeared to people. Even in the book of Acts, when Stephen was about to be stoned, he had a vision of Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Jesus is risen from the dead. He is alive. He is not a dead religious founder. He did not leave just a creed and theology about God. He is alive. And we experience Him. That's the third uniqueness about Jesus. That's different. All the other great founders of religion has left some wonderful principles, some wonderful interesting principles and concepts about morality and life. But that's all they left. Principles and concepts. Jesus has left not just principles and concepts. Jesus remains alive. Death could not hold Him. And you think about that, the greatest concern of mankind is what happens after death. Correct. Now, if yet there is a line that we never cross, and a lot of people like Houdini and all this try say, oh, they will return from the dead. None of them ever return. But Jesus Christ was dead, but He's alive now. And there's a line that we cannot cross, because when you cross, you don't come back. The line of death. Now, isn't it obvious that if you don't know what's across on the other line when a person dies, isn't it obvious that someone who has been there and come out and conquer it can tell you more? And Jesus has rose from the dead and is alive forevermore. And that is why there's no more fear of death. Because He has conquered that. He said the keys of hell and death are now in His hands. He has conquered death. The resurrection of Jesus is the third uniqueness that He has. And He is alive. The fourth uniqueness, and what do I mean by unique? In that He's different from every founder of religion. Number four. In John chapter 14, Jesus has appointed, in a sense, His successor. Not a human being. Most great religious founders have a human succession. But in John chapter 14, Jesus says in verse 16 to 18, I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper. Comforter, Greek word parakletos, one called alongside, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. In the 3 years with His disciples, He was like an elder brother and in a fatherly sense over the disciples. And when Jesus was about to physically leave them to go to heaven, Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will send someone, but that someone will be invisible. However, in spite of being invisible, He will be tangible. He says, the world cannot see Him. In verse 17. But you can experience Him. So Jesus not only has principles and concepts, He's not just a founder of great religion with principles and concepts. He left behind an invisible person to back up what He says. And that is why sometimes when you worship God or you call on the name of Jesus, there seems to be an invisible power that enforces the authority of Jesus. I know, because from a Buddhist background, Growing up with a lot of Buddhists around you, my mother and some relations used to go to these Chinese temples where they have mediums and people possessed, so-called, by these spirits, and they begin to do different things. And one of the things they always say among the people that are there is that when the spirits are there, they do not like a Christian to be near. I said, why? Because it prevents or can stop the spirits from coming into the medium. Now that struck a thought in me when I was young, and said, I always want to find out why that it was so. Because somehow the name Jesus is respected in the spirit world. And when Jesus or Christianity in its real form is present, it prevents those things from happening. And then among the Malays, they practice a Malay form of witchcraft among the Bomos and calling off. It's a sort of animistic beliefs, calling of these spirits, and they would burn some sort of incense on a clay pot, and then they would use a lemon and lime and all this and a few leaves to get that kind of atmosphere for these what they call spirits among the Malay witch doctors. And they would tell you the same thing. Say, how do you know? Because my father at that time, although he's a Buddhist, but you know, when people are in trouble, they want to try everything, right? So he there were some things problems that in terms of oppression and all that he was experiencing, and my mother was experiencing. They sought medical help, they sought the medium's help, and then he went to seek out this Bomo, and he used to take me in his car, and he go all the way out to this country area where this Bomo was, and they give all kinds of funny things for them to bathe with, lime things and all that. And then This is a strange thing that the Momo says, that if a Christian is present, they can't perform. That struck me again. It's a totally different area. Something unique about Jesus. What's unique? It's because when anyone, anywhere call on Jesus, the Holy Spirit is present to enforce the victory of Jesus and the presence of Jesus. If you don't believe me, whether here or anywhere in your home, one day close your eyes and call Jesus, and see whether the invisible presence doesn't come. It does. Presence of Jesus, brought by the Holy Spirit. He says, I will not leave you orphans. And many are the people who experience when, you know, I don't know, you have this unique experience when you're halfway between a sleep and waking stage, and sometimes you feel this oppressive atmosphere on you, where it's like you find it very hard to wake up, or like you want to call out because you're being pressed down by something, and like your voice is not coming out. And a lot of people experience this kind of what I call a spiritual oppression. But you know the most beautiful thing? No matter how pressed down or pressed you are between wake and sleep, if you could just get the word Jesus on your lips, the whole thing disappears. When you just say Jesus, shoom, the oppression leaves. Because anywhere in the world, the Holy Spirit as a person has been called by Jesus, sent by Jesus, to replace him until we meet Jesus face to face. That's a unique thing. He didn't just leave behind a creed or teaching, which he did too, but he left an invisible person to be our quote unquote fathers, because he said, I won't leave you orphans, to be our guardian until he comes. No other religious founder has said, I leave behind an invisible caretaker and guardian. Only Jesus.